Open your Bibles to Isaiah 49. That was a pretty cool video. Any moms in here relate to that dynamic? Like the voices in your head versus what you hear from other people? Anybody in here who's not a mom struggle with the exact same thing? I want to start off by asking, how many of us in here, by show of hands, have ever been criticized? Like ever. Okay. Some of us. Most of us face criticism and will face criticism. If your answer was, nobody criticizes me, what you mean, of course, is nobody criticizes me to my face. And you're very young. But, you know, criticism actually can be a very healthy and very helpful thing. I always say, if you don't have some personal critics, go get you some. They can be very useful. And, you can get in a really unhealthy place if you don't listen. You block out all input into your life. But criticism, when constructive, can be helpful, and it's very healthy. Criticism can also be very discouraging, very sometimes even scarring, very demotivating. And I think perhaps the biggest part of the difference in whether it's a good thing or bad thing is whether or not you feel loved by the person offering the criticism. And I think also another factor that can play in there is what's being criticized. Is something I did being criticized, or is it who I am that's being criticized? You know, criticize something I do, you know, that can be hard sometimes, but criticize who I am, that hurts in a different way. Criticize me to my face, I can take it. What I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning is, you know, while we can take it if somebody criticizes us to our face, what about the criticism that comes from the other side of the face? Those inner thoughts, the self-talk, that kind of, that place where all the moms were talking about, right, you know, at first. Describe yourself as a mother. Those voices they were listening to about all the ways that they fall short. What do you do with those voices? You know, it can be tricky sometimes because God has given us this really powerful thing called conscience. And sometimes there are things that, you know, our conscience helps us to identify things that, you know, this really does need to change. Sometimes that inner voice goes beyond conscience to a kind of self-talk that tears us down and ultimately can leave us in a place that says, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not productive enough. I'm not fill in the blank. What is it? Where does that talk go in your head? It can come any time, but it especially comes in times of trouble, times of trial, times of struggle. In Isaiah 49, starting in verse 13, Israel as a nation has been going through a time of struggle and trial and discipline. God has a message through the prophet Isaiah 49:13 beginning. It says, shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Now, in this time of struggle, this time of affliction, Israel had a God who loved them. They didn't feel like that. They felt abandoned. They felt like they had there was a God who had forgotten them. Even though God was there and God loved them, it says, but Zion said, surely the Lord has forgotten us. Surely the Lord has forsaken me. That thought, God has forsaken you, you're God forsaken. Where did that come from? It didn't come from God. You know, throughout the scriptures, even looking at in the Old Testament, there is this theme going on. And there called accusers. The word where we get the word Satan is the Hebrew word Satan, which means accuser or opponent or adversary. And then in the Hebrew scriptures, this character emerges that's Hasatan, the accuser. The accuser, Satan, the devil. That's his name. It means accuser, adversary, opponent. It's his name. It's what he does. In Revelation 12, I won't take time to read there, but there's a scene of a war that goes on in the heavens, starting in verse 7 and following, but it talks about character, Satan. It says, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. A few verses later, it says, the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night. Woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Accuser. That's his name. Is, it's what he does. And so, in the midst of this time of adversity, this time when accusations are being spoken into the ears and into the minds of God's people, God says, what can I possibly do to help them out? How can I possibly describe the intimacy I want, the compassion I feel, the connection with me for which you, as my people, were designed? And then God says, I got it. Picture a mother nursing a child. That's the kind of intimacy I want with you. That's the kind of connection. It's like this rhetorical question is asked in the scripture. It says, you know, listen, can you imagine? You say, I've forgotten you. Can you imagine a mother forgetting the child that she's born and that's at her breast? Can you imagine that? How unlikely is that? And God says, well, I guess yes, it could happen, but it won't happen with me. A mother might forget her child, but I won't forget you. He goes on to say, I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. I won't forget you. Like a mother nursing a baby. So we have God's people in this time of struggle, and they're hearing some voices saying one thing, and then God is speaking this different message into their lives. And in that place where there's a lot of noise, there are a lot of messages going on, that's just kind of where we live, right? So the question is, how do we cut through all the noise? How can we connect with words from God that would be, you know, life-giving, encouraging, empowering, to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us the courage to be who we want to be, to do the things that we want to do? You know, is it possible for us to have those kind of aha moment like the moms did? Somebody could ask us, you know, how life is going, and we may answer very much like the moms did at first. What could happen to break through all that noise? So that we could hear our God speak to us and speak about us from the truth of how he feels about us. How do we silence all the competing voices to hear the one voice that really matters? Boy, that's the big question, isn't it? And you know, the answer's probably not exactly the same for every one of us. But I know something that we need, whether feel like we need it or not, whether it occurs to us that we need it or not. Say, what do we need to do? I mean, go to the image of the mother and child that Isaiah gives us. If we want to cut through all the noise and hear the voice of God, we've got to take time to be still. Be still, to drink from the deep, still waters that God is offering you. You know, as Satan was being described in Revelation 12, it says he's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And I tell you, that spirit of anger, of frustration, of saying, I don't have enough time, and it really rubs me the wrong way. You know, that spirit rubs off of him onto us sometimes. Anybody ever experienced that? I'm feeling a little upset. I maybe even feel a little bit angry. I'm frustrated. I don't have enough time. Do you ever find yourself saying you don't have enough time? Then maybe your heart could go out to Satan for just a little bit, because that's where he lives. And you know, and if you live, you know, in close connection with him, that rubs off on you also. And you can find yourself saying, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I just don't have enough time. And we feel like we don't have time to take time to be still. We live in a world that's in a hurry. waters. He wants to lead us beside quiet waters. We're in a hurry. Did you feel that? That tug that says, don't stop now. Keep going. You can get it done. If you just do, says, you know, I designed you to be like, to be with me the way the child is with the mother. Be still. Hurry is the enemy. I think all of us understand that we're designed for a connection with God. But it takes time. We want to drink deeply from the quiet waters. But hurry is the enemy of deep. You know, when I think about beautiful mother, my mama, the legacy that she left me was, God is enough for me, and I'm enough for God. Now, that's a big legacy to live into. When she died in 2003, she left everything she had to the nine of us. And everything she had was almost nothing in terms of material things. But she left us a legacy that said, God is enough for me, and I'm enough for God. Another way to say it is, with God, I'm fully known and fully loved. I believe every one of us is wired to crave that. We want, in the core of our souls, deep in our hearts, we want to be fully known and fully loved. Left to me is a big one to live into. But I ask myself, what legacy am I leaving to my kids? I actually want to leave the same legacy. That God is enough for me, and I'm enough for God. But you know, legacy has more to do with who you are than what you do. What you do flows from who you are, for sure. But think about this. You know, inheritance is what you leave to someone. Legacy is what you leave in someone. And we're investing ourselves in the people around us. And I think about, you know, when they said, you know, describe yourself as a mom on the video, they talked about all the things that they did and ways that they didn't do it quite good enough. The kids talked about, yeah, things they did, but just when my mom is awesome. My mom is beautiful. My mom is my hero. They talked they talked about things they did, but mainly it was about who mom is. Not just what mom does. And it was about times that they took time to be together, to jump on the trampoline or to wrestle or whatever. anybody need it this morning? Okay. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, you're probably going to need it tomorrow morning. You might be feeling like God has forgotten you, God has forsaken you. God says, listen, can a mother forget the child that she's nursing? She may forget that child, but I won't forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. Those voices that are telling you you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not strong enough, you're not man enough, that is not coming from me. That's the accuser. That's the adversary.